B-Pod Studios.
Calgary and Maz are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center, presented by Cambridge Savings Bank on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Are we up out of my headset late? I assume we are. Welcome to the program, everybody. It's Felger and Maserati here on an agenda-free Friday from Atlanta and Super Bowl 53. First hour of the program, as it has been all week long, is presented by your New England Buick dealers. Agenda-free Friday is also brought to you by our friends at the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. We are here at the Super Bowl, so we've obviously got a ton of Patriots and Rams stuff to get to, but we're going to keep the basic tenets of Agenda Free Friday and let you talk about whatever you want, because there's certainly some other stuff going on with the Celtics and Kyrie Irving. Okay? So not just that, but basically whatever you want.
Boy, is there ever.
So that is percolating. And in fact, I believe that's going to be Jim Murray's opening statement. So we'll give you some opening statements. You fill up the phone lines, then we go to you. That's how it works. The hounds have been released at 617-779-0985. Opening thoughts. Murray, do you want to start with Kyrie?
Yeah, because it's amazing to me just how much the NBA has, like, all the drama overshadowed everything and related to the Super Bowl this week, and rightfully so, because you have the Anthony Davis stuff at the beginning of the week. You have Kristaps Porzingis getting traded yesterday. And now you have Kyrie Irving today, who's visibly annoyed when he's being asked these questions about his future. And, again, rightfully so, he's being asked these questions about his future, because we've heard nothing. He's had this hip thing that's kept him out of the last couple of games. But he's in New York, likely his future home, today, as they're getting set to play the Knicks tonight. And rather than playing the audio because there's stupid bouncing basketballs all over the place, I'll just read it for anyone that hasn't heard this yet. I'm not worried about a reputation. I'm not worried about a legacy to leave, which is a crock, and I'll get to that in a second. I'm just trying to be a human being and make the best decision for me and my family, said a visibly annoyed Kyrie Irving when asked about his commitment to the Celtics after this season. I spent the last 8 years trying to do what everybody else wanted me to do in terms of making my decisions and trying to validate through the media, through personnel managers, and I don't owe anybody S. And I wish I could say it, because he's pretty emphatic about it. When you make a commercial, and this is when he says, I'm not worried about a legacy to leave, when you make a commercial after committing on the floor verbally to Celtic season ticket holders, hey, it's my intention to re-up here. When you make a commercial with your dad for Nike in the garden playing one-on-one, and you're talking about, you're doing the voiceover about how you want to have your legacy and have your number up in the rafters here with all these other numbers of the Celtics, I'm sorry, you can't say stuff like this. You look like a complete a-hole. This is such a... This situation with this team and Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis and even these young players who now are apparently all on the table. Jason Tatum is now on the table, too, from what I've read in the last 24 hours. Danny Ainge said anybody's available for Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis doesn't want to be here long term. This is such a delicate situation, and it feels like it's gone the past of no return for Kyrie Irving. It feels like he's going to be gone. So how Danny Ainge is going to handle this in the next maybe week leading up to the trade deadline or from now until the summer is going to be completely fascinating, because this team could either be, like Jimmy has said, porked with a future of Al Horford on one leg, Gordon Hayward on the worst contract in the league, and young players who hate the coach, or maybe it will be Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, and that's going to be a situation that's going to be in flux because both those guys seemingly might not want to be here. At least Anthony Davis doesn't want to, but maybe they get here, they figure it out, they'll be comfortable, and they win a title or two.
That's porked in all caps.
Yeah.
Just make sure we're on the same page.
But Kyrie came off as a complete a-hole today.
Celtics on the board today, Maz. Are you ready to make your prediction, Maz?
I will, but I'm not going to do that now. I'm going to do that in the next segment.
Excellent. I like it.
Teasing. No, my opening take is I read today, Mike Reese, that Tom Brady wrote a letter of recommendation for Ty Law for the Hall of Fame. I was happy to see that. A couple of Michigan guys hanging together, staying tight, good, because Ty Law belongs in the Hall of Fame. What was more important to me, or more interesting to me, and more revealing, was the fact that Bill Belichick wrote a letter of recommendation for Richard Seymour. I thought these guys hated each other like poison.
No.
And maybe they do. So, but I will say it's one of two things. Either this is Belichick separating the business decision he made on Seymour to trade him away, but acknowledging how good a player he really was, because Bill is capable of that. Or it's Bill's attempt to mend fences with Richard Seymour, in which case, good for him for doing that, too. Honestly, I don't care what his motivation is.
You're honestly leaving out a third.
What is it?
Well, don't you think that the more Hall of Famers he gets in, that improves his legacy?
Sure.
You know, I mean, it benefits him. You know, that he won 5 Super Bowls and got 12 guys into the Hall of Fame. Whatever. You know,
sure.
So
yeah,
every guy
I'll
that's
allow
in
for that, too.
Helps him.
I mean, the first two to me are more interesting, and yeah. I think they factor in some way. Because, again, the last one means it's entirely about Bill, which it could be. I don't rule that out. But the idea that he would go to bat for Richard Seymour, given the history, and even when Seymour was here, they didn't always see eye to eye. And I remember one year I went up to talk to Seymour about game planning for a playoff game, and he said, well, you know, everybody puts this emphasis on the game plan. We got to go out and execute it, as if to say, don't give all the credit to the coach. And I thought, wow, you don't hear that often around here. And so I give Bill credit for doing the right thing, because I think Richard Seymour belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, mine is quick. I have picked the Rams, and I think I owe you a reason other than it's not the Patriots' year, because that's pretty much what I've been going with the whole time. It's just not the Patriots' year. I don't believe you can show up late to work and, you know, sort of slog your way through it and then just flip a switch. That's never really who they've been. So I've been with the field the whole time. It's because it's not their year. But I owe you something more specific about how the Rams can beat you. And so I have come up with one, and I think it's legit. I don't really think you can argue with it. Now, the only thing you can argue is that it's not enough to beat the Patriots. But how are the Rams going to beat the Patriots on Sunday? With speed. 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 They're faster. I think they're faster across the board. I can't, as I said to you in the email, name one place where the Pats are actually faster than the Rams. I think the Rams' secondary is faster than your receivers. I think the Rams' receivers are a heck of a lot faster than your secondary. I think that their defensive line is quicker than your offensive line. I think your defensive line is not particularly fast or explosive, is it?
No, with the exception of Flowers.
Trey Flowers.
I don't think you have much there.
I mean, it's really not. It's really not a speed defense. Todd Gurley, and I know running backs don't matter, but he's a big speed quotient there against your linebackers. That's a big speed of it. Jared Goff can run. Speed. That's how they beat you. They're going to run you off the floor. That's it. To me, that's it. If I'm the Rams, I play fast. And that's like a cliche, but I am pounding that this week. Play fast. Like the Falcons did a couple years ago.
They should go no huddle, too, if you ask me.
And it took a miracle for you to pull that out, and you did. And, you know, who knows, knowing you, you'll do it again. But that's the path to it, and it's simple, but it's just speed. I think there's some really big speed mismatches. Gurley versus your linebackers. Brandon Cooks against anyone. I think Goff running the ball, you know, think of that. You've had some problems with that. Their defense, I think their defensive line, speed. Okay, so that's how they do it. They're faster than you. They're more athletic than you. This is a fast track, you know. I think you could say Kansas City was faster than you, too, for sure. That was a little neutralized by the weather there and the turf in Kansas City. This is perfect weather, no wind. AstroTurf. It is AstroTurf, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's,
well, you say artificial surface.
Yeah, I'm right.
It's the same stuff that they pulled out of Foxborough a couple of years ago because they hated it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Either way, it's a fast track. You're inside. And so if I'm the Rams, speed. There you go. Those are opening thoughts. What are yours? We'll lead off with George in New Hampshire here on Agenda Free Friday. Go ahead, George. George? Jimmy, is he up?
He's up.
Okay, George, you can call us back. You know the number. Here is Malik in Dorchester on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Malik.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I don't know why you guys are shocked about how the new NBA is. These guys are not loyal. There's no faithfulness or none of that. They'll say one thing today and say another tomorrow. Real quick, the NFL is rigged. It's entertainment. It is not no longer a sport. And this is the connecting the dots. Bill Belichick, I believe he's 66 years old, and Patriots are going for their sixth championship, and that's all I got to say.
Okay, I'm not going with that second thing. The Kyrie Irving, I am surprised. I want to take people at their word. When Tom Brady says there's a 0% chance I'm retiring, I'm going to give him 0%. He's going to just look me in the eye and bald-faced lie. And so when Kyrie Irving says before the year, I'm staying here, I'm going to hold him to that. I'm going to believe him, and I have believed him.
Yeah, but considering his track record,
so
what a mercurial weirdo he is.
You know, did you think he was this weird? Did you think he was this big of a handful?
Yeah,
he's weirder than I thought. And so, like Murray, on some level, you know, because look, you're right. The guy's all over the place. He's all over the map. Where I blame him is saying the stuff that he said the first time. What he said today, I'm going to wait till July 1.
He should have said that the whole way.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he never should have committed because he never, you know, he was always going to pull a LeBron and hold the Celtics, rather, off the ledge by their ankles. He was totally going to do that. And which is what he's doing to him now. Now, all of that said...
Well, the reason I'm with you. He looks like a bigger a-hole for saying everything he said before, for making that commercial with his dad. He comes off as an a-hole today for being a petulant baby about it. Like, he acted like, how dare you ask me this? Like, ugh, talk to me July 1st. Like, dude, you did this. You did this to yourself.
Well, that's true. Poor Kyrie got asked tough questions.
Do you want to keep
him? Celtics media is so tough on me.
Do you want to keep him anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
But not at any cost. I mean, I would trade him for a good return. I'd trade him for Anthony Davis.
Okay, but isn't the idea to put the two of them together?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. To me, I think if you swap out Kyrie for Anthony Davis, you might be better at the end of the day.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it because then I think Davis walks.
Okay, well, if you're telling me I could keep Anthony Davis long-term, Kyrie versus Anthony Davis, just in a vacuum, who would I rather have? I think I'd rather have Davis. Or I think I could more adequately replace or get 80% of Kyrie than get 80% of Davis. You know what
Definitely.
I mean? There's a lot of point guards out there. But what surprises me is that Danny Ainge has been telling people that he's seen no discernible difference from Kyrie Irving. Danny, what are you talking about? The last time he addressed his future, he said, I'm staying. He stood up in front of a room full of your people, your customers, and said, I'm staying. Now the next time he's asked about it, he says, ask me again on July 1st, and he hasn't changed his tune? Ah, come on, Dan. Come on. Like, you know he's been telling reporters this off the record, because all the reporters were saying sources in Boston have said X, and then Danny Ainge goes on Touch and Rich and says X. Because that's exactly what all the off-the-record comments were. So it's like Danny's been telling everybody, we see no difference. We see no discernible difference in Kyrie's commitment to us. It all looks the same to us. Really? Really, Dan, really. Because the last time he addressed it, he said, I'm staying to all your paying customers. And then today he says, ask me July 1st, and I don't owe anybody crap. He hasn't changed his tune. Stop this. You know, quit bullcrapping a bullcrapper is what I would say on that. Kyrie, the Patriots, whatever you want. Agenda Free Friday continues with your phone calls right after this from Atlanta.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub. Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
The season's, you know, grind, so it's up and down. I mean, I'm not going to lie and sit here and say every week is the best. Not at all. I mean, you go up, you go down. You can take some serious hits. I mean, to tell you the truth, just try imagine getting hit all the time and trying to be where you want to be every day in life. It's tough. It's difficult. I mean, to take hits to the thigh, take hits to your head, abusing your body isn't what your brain wants. So it can... When your body's abused, it can bring down your mood. You got to be able to deal with that, too, throughout the season. You got to be able to deal with that going into games. And no one realizes that. And everyone expects us players to be wide awake every single day. And it's like, yo, like, I just took 50 hits to my head. Or, like, you're not to my head, but I'm saying I just took 50 collisions. And then, like, the next day, everyone wants you to be up. They want practice full speed. Next week, they want the game to be full speed. But they don't understand sometimes what players are going through with their bodies, with their minds. And that's why I would say you see a shift in players in games where people are down the whole game. And then you see all of a sudden next week, it's like, how did this team just go from one switch to the other?
So Agenda Free Friday, that was one of the big cuts from the week. Really revealing comment by Rob Gronkowski. So really does that sound like a man who's long for this game, long for this sport?
No, and I also think he's trying to explain to people why his play was erratic this year. You know, I say erratic. How about substandard? He wasn't the same guy. Like, look, you know, you think I'm going to go out and be able to do cartwheels and catch everything when it's a struggle to just get out there? So, but I think he's done. I think this is it.
So that's a big storyline to me. This is one of the all-time great players to come through here. as you know, one of the defining players on just the most incredible run in sports. I mean, really. I mean, that's so when we look back at this, whenever it finally ends, and we look back on it, we look at the central figures. You know, Gronkowski's, well, right now, no lower than third in my estimation. I don't know. Third most important, you know, you talk about this run, Belichick, Brady. Then who's three? Maybe it's Gronkowski. I don't know.
Edelman.
Maybe go back to the Edelman or the, you know, in that first run with Brewski or, you know, I'm a big Rodney Harrison guy, but he wasn't here in 01. Yes, I don't know. So this is his last game. That's a big moment. That's
sure
gonna,
it is.
That's going to be a big moment at the end of that game, and Rob Gronkowski is done. So we continue with your thoughts, but first I think we need to do this because the TV trucks are lined up outside. We've got Byron Barnett waiting here outside the rope, Maz. And, like, everyone wants your prediction already. So would you please just give it to the media? We have a release ready to go. We'll send it out simultaneously. Who do you like in this game?
So as much as I can...
Time for Maz's pick.
So as much as I would love to absolutely shove it down the throats of a small segment of Patriots fans, I'm actually picking the Pats.
Ah, you disappoint me.
Okay, so here's the thing, and I've said you've said all year, I picked against them all year. I'm not going to change my mind now. You know, whoever they play is one. So am I supposed to ignore when they play well? Like, that's the part I can't get over. Like, I look at them and I say, they've changed. They're playing better. And so do I think the Rams have more talent? I do. I think the Rams have more talent. I also think Jared Goff's not ready for this moment. And that the Patriots ultimately are going to put Jared Goff in a position where he makes a mistake. And it's going to hurt him. So as much as I would like to shove it down the throats of that small segment of Patriots fans, that's the biggest bunch of whiniest little babies on the planet, I'm picking the Pats. Reluctantly, begrudgingly, but I'm picking the Pats. Well, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Quitter. All right, so there you have it. We can finally get Byron Barnett off our back. To your phones again here on an agenda-free Friday. Brian in Burlington, what do you got on the OT rules?
This is what I got, Felger. I've been listening for 2 weeks, and you're entertaining calls about the overtime rule. I want to drive my truck off the road. The simple answer is it's right in your wheelhouse, you and Maz. Here's the overtime rule. You lose the coin flip, you stop them on 3rd and 10. You don't suck. You make your defense not suck. That's the best way to solve overtime.
Said like a fan whose defense sucks but has never lost a coin toss in overtime. In the playoffs.
What I'm saying is that's what it is. Football isn't just offense. It's offense.
Well, I mean, I don't know. How's your defense here? How is your defense in the fourth quarter in Kansas City? Huh? I'm sorry. And I let you go, so you can't answer. But how was your defense in the fourth quarter in Kansas City? What are the odds that if you lose that coin flip, you're coming out of that game victorious? So it's easy for you to say, because Tom Brady's never lost a coin flip in overtime in the playoffs. Of course, 12% chance that they go 3-0 on coin flips, and of course they've gone 3-0 on coin flips. So it's real easy for everyone in Boston, the Patriots fans, to say, well, make a stop. Well, you've never had to. As I keep saying, you've never had to sit there and watch a playoff game where Tom Brady's on the bench and Sterling Moore is saving your playoff life, or you're looking out for Jordan Batamosi or some other crap bag defensive player who Bill's going to cut in a month. They're trying to save your bacon in the playoffs. You've never had to do that. Okay, so when you do, because eventually you're going to lose a coin flip. And when that happens, tell me how that tastes and how you feel about it. Mike in the truck, what do you got, Mike?
Hey, guys, I just read this great article called Examining the Brian Flores Effect. It was on NFL.com. But after reading it, I kind of feel like we might be letting the wrong guy walk out the door. I know that it's assumed that Josh McDaniels is going to take over, but he just doesn't strike me as a guy that can lead a locker room. I know he's really smart, but he just doesn't seem like a guy who can command attention. And this guy, Brian Flores, after reading this article, it sounds like he's the real deal.
Okay, well, I hope someone is. I hope someone finally comes out of here and puts it together. And, you know, Belichick can get a little thing going. You talk about the holes in Bill's legacy. One is his tree. Like, he hasn't created anything somewhere else.
No, not even, in fact, not even really all that close.
Well, you know,
I mean, again, his most successful offspring is probably Bill O'Brien.
And that guy can't win a playoff game to save his life.
I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Because all the other ones have sucked.
Yes, it's true.
So, like, the only thing I would say about what the caller said is would people have, when Bill Belichick began coaching, did people say he could command a room?
Oh, no.
That was the big flaw.
His knock was, this is just a coordinator.
I mean,
not a leader of men, right?
So the way to command the room is to win. I mean, if you are someone like Bill or Josh McDaniels, the way to do that is to win. Flores has more of a, it feels like a Mike Tomlin personality. And I don't mean that he can't game plan. I mean that, you know, he's a guy that guys will rally around and that'll work in his favor. But if he can't coach, it's not going to matter.
Okay, here's a good one. I'm going to jump Cameron because I like his comment line. He says, why the Boston media is driving Kyrie away. Go ahead, Cameron.
Hey, guys, what's going on? I think right now what's happening is Boston right now, Kyrie is the pretty girl at the dance. She said that she was going to be with us, and we got to take him at his word. But now we're getting nervous, and we're freaking him out, and we're saying, oh, what you said. Tell us again. Make sure that you love us and all this. And it's going to be so annoying for
him. I can't say that, Jesus. So do you think that the climate in Boston is driving him away?
No.
The climate in Boston for the Celtics is amazing.
Yeah, and the other thing is I think he gets off on the attention. I think he loves it. I think that Kyrie is an absolute, you know, spotlight junkie, for crying out loud. He loves it. Don't let him kid you. What is irritating him is that he can't get the other guys around him to respond the way he wants them to respond because he's not a leader. That's the problem. And so, look, they can solve a lot of this if they bring in Anthony Davis. It's all tied together now. I mean, Ainge is almost too far in to back out, isn't he?
Yep. So you're saying if they bring in Davis, Kyrie stays?
Yes. I think Ainge has to go get Anthony Davis now.
Are you totally convinced of that?
I think that's the Celtics' only shot to keep Kyrie.
Okay.
That's what I
would
think.
Agree.
And so the report came out today that Davis considers Boston only a rental possibility.
Right. Unless.
So does that get Kyrie to stay if you're even just if you're only renting Anthony Davis?
Well, but it gets. But Anthony Davis only considers Boston a rental because he doesn't think Kyrie Irving is staying based on reports earlier in the week.
Okay.
Right. So to me, it's now a package deal. You got to get both. It's both or none. So if you're Ainge, you're over a barrel now in the Anthony Davis discussions.
I'm curious how Celtics fans feel. To go this direction and blow up all that slow drafting and developing and you make hit on some good young picks and all that for these two guys, especially Kyrie, who is a freaking handful, versus just trading Kyrie Irving, getting what you can, and building around Tatum and Brown and keep doing the thing that you had been doing. I wonder, because the Celtics love the young, the Celtics fan loves the young player and loves the thing that Danny's built, don't they?
What would you do?
I'd trade for, you know, I'd try and see if I could get Kyrie and Anthony Davis.
I mean, that's what I'd do.
Yeah.
And look, I love Jason Tim, but all these young guys that we talk about on the Celtics, Tatum's the only one who I think is a guaranteed top three player on a championship team.
Travis, in Boston, the Patriots against speed teams. What do you think?
Hey, I just want to touch base, guys. Two quick points. The Chargers had speed on defense. We beat them. Kansas City obviously had speed. We beat them. And we did it slow and methodical. It was all coaching there. And the second point I got is Maz. Jesus Christ, you whine so good. Like, I feel bad for your wife.
Okay, Travis.
So do I.
I feel bad for all of our wives.
I feel bad for my kids, too.
Yes, I think the Kansas City speed, I think you're helped by the weather. I mean, that weather and the field conditions there that weren't bad, but still, you're outside in January and a 20-degree day is going to slow a team down. So I think, you know, that was that. The Chargers, I don't know, did the Chargers have a huge speed advantage against you?
It didn't feel like it.
I think they had a size advantage. You know, some of those receivers were big.
Bosa and Ingram are fast.
Sure, fine, fair enough. I'm really talking about more skill positions across the field. I don't know. I feel like the Rams have more than the Chargers certainly did. You could say they're equal to the Chiefs, but again, this is a different track. You know, you're inside on AstroTurf. So
I'll tell you what's a big thing.
I mean, if you're asking me how the Rams are going to beat them, that's how they're going to beat them. It's no guarantee that they beat them.
I think the Rams are meaner. I mean, their defense in particular is mean.
Yeah.
I mean, it has the capacity to be mean. I don't know if they'll play mean on Sunday. But they got some real a-holes on that defense that are mean.
Okay, coming up next, we're going to learn to hate the Rams. We're going to give you a Fuppets because Hardy put together a whopper this week. Just a tremendous. We gave him some good material with our Super Tuesday shenanigans. So he put one together based on that. There's also a Boston media member who owes me one. And so I'll get to you back on that. Coming up right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Patriots fans, are you still struggling to find ways to hate the L.A. Rams?
Yeah.
Well, struggle no more, because Felger and Mass have got you covered.
Learning to hate them, learning to hate the Rams of Los Angeles.
These Rams, bro, I hate them so much.
Oh, yeah? Tell me why.
Because they're in L.A. I hate L.A. I hate the Lakers. Uh-huh. I hate Magic. I hate Pat Riley. I hate Kareem.
Yeah.
I hate Kobe. I hate the Dodgers. Yeah. I don't even care about the Clippers.
Uh-huh.
I hate the weirdos that live out there.
Yeah.
I hate the Hollywood elite.
Yeah.
I hate how superficial it is. I hate the fake people. I hate the traffic. Yeah. I hate that they don't have winter.
Wait a minute, though. Did you ever actually go out to L.A.?
Never. I can't afford it. I've just seen all that on TV and the internet. And that's all I need to hate.
Yeah, f**k L.A. and f**k the Rams.
All right, we got some stuff to play to you this segment, so we're going to bring in our first guest to help us out.
I hate Kareem, by the way.
Sitting in the Big Y world-class market guest chair, Sarah Underwood from Boston 25.
Sarah! Joined
on the program, it's the Wood. Finally, we got the Wood.
Here we go.
What's up, Sarah?
I'm a little bit nervous to be here.
I feel like that every day.
Good Lord. Would you please?
It's your better half, but it's your better 9/10.
So listen, this is why we have you on, because when we do our Facebook Live thing at 6:05, our Felger Mass off-air show, 3/4 of the questions are, yeah, what does the Wood think about you and the ball gag? What does the Wood think about you puking out the door of the Uber the other night? So we're going to bring you on and let you address it personally so that people can hear how you feel about it and they'll stop bugging us about it. So, did the ball gag intimidate you?
I have never seen the ball gag video. I'm afraid to look at it.
Good actual video.
And I actually never knew about it until I went into work the next morning, and some of my coworkers said, some others, and many others had told me about it, and I went on my Twitter feed, and sure enough, the photograph of you exploded.
And how'd you feel about it?
I was very uncomfortable. I didn't know what it was, and it looked rather odd.
Okay, so, but
what she's telling you is she's embarrassed to be associated.
Yeah, so, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're being honest, you're a little embarrassed. You don't get it.
I get it.
Like, aren't you past the point of having to be, like, stunt boy for a radio show? I think this is...
So are you getting a little old for this crap? Like, I mean, file under that? I understand.
I'm
a man of my word, Wood. Okay, so the second thing is...
Well, that's the thing, is that you are a man of your word.
Thank you.
So I thought that was the best part about it.
I told McBone he could ball gag me if they went to the Super Bowl. They went to the Super Bowl, so McBone ball gagged me. I mean, what are you going to...
No, that's an honorable man right there.
I mean, that's what it is. It is what it is. The other thing is, tell these people, I really can't drink. I'm a lightweight when it comes to drinking. You know this.
Definitely.
Like, if you had to pick his carcass up like I did the other night...
Yeah, it's just not really a great thing. My favorite part, though, is the Fuppets. Oh, my God, that is
so
amazing. I feel like with the Fuppets, I really understand what's going on. I wasn't there that night when you went out, but through the Fuppets, I could really feel like there.
It's a good interpretation.
All right, so we have the Fuppets.
It's a way you can keep an eye on your husband when you're not there.
Fuppets coming up in a moment. First, I want to show everybody what we did last night real quick. And the sound isn't great because, Jim, you know, when we went back and listened to it, they didn't mix it right in the bar. But I was in a bar last night with Big Jim Murray, and they do karaoke, but not just any karaoke, live karaoke with a live band. You know, guitar, rhythm guitar, drum kit, you know, organ, backup singers. Like, so they you know.
And they're real proficient musicians. Like,
that was a good band.
Yeah.
So Murray got up last night and sang White Wedding.
You showed that to me earlier.
Yeah, so here, let's run it on the simulcast. Let's run it, Jimmy. And again, the sound isn't great, but, you know, just sort of work with us. Murray, you were made to do this stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm a failed musician. It's how I ended up in radio. I was like a bad guitar player that weighed down any band I ever tried to play with. But as I've gotten older and care much less with each passing day, like, I don't know, I'm a ham. If there's karaoke to be had, I got a few drinks in me, I'm going to get up there and give the people what they want.
Jimmy, it's the key to success in life. Act like you don't give a crap.
Jimmy, turn it up.
I'm a ham.
I love how comfortable you feel and the way you dance and your body.
Oh, yeah, no, I get up there and I strut like a young David Bowie, a Middle Eastern looking David Bowie. You can't just stand there and
shotgun.
It's a
nice day to start again.
And all the sales guys that were with us are like, you're really going to do this? And I was like, not only am I going to do this, I'm going to wreck the whole place. Like, no one else is going to want to do it after me.
Is that the same song that you sang at Beatles Fundraiser?
No, what did I do at Beatles Fundraiser? That was...
Oh, he did it two nights ago at this... What, I got to take you to this Claremont place.
That's okay.
You have to. Scary old strippers, man. You wouldn't believe this place.
Sarah, tell him you'll meet him there. Say, yeah, I'll meet you there.
You would not believe that thing. All right, so anyway, Wood, thanks for coming by.
Sure, thank you.
All right, folks.
You're a good sport, Sarah.
All right.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
So this is, yeah, see, she's a TV gal. All the TV people are so afraid to do or say anything. So she sees me in a ball gag, and she's like, uh-oh, he's about to be fired, you know, because the TV folks won't even let her say ball gag. Never mind. See, she just audibly gasped. So we're going to play the Fuppets. You want a reenactment of what happened the other night on our annual Drink Your Face Off? If Murray hands it to you, don't take it. Tuesday Night Spectacular, also known as
Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday. Here is Hardy. Again, Hardy in the Midday puts this together. He did a great job. He brought the little fellas to Atlanta here, so he was able to put together a Fuppets. You'll see it on the simulcast. You'll hear it here on the radio. When we come back, we'll do a season recap that got us here to Super Bowl 53, and we'll get back to your phones here on Agenda Free Friday on Felger and Mass. Roll the Fuppets.
Real quick, Jim in Manchester. What do you got for me, Jim?
Hey, how much did you drink last night?
If you saw how much I drank, you would be... What makes my condition day so embarrassing is how little I drank. That's the story.
I would agree.
It's not that lightweight. Not the way I feel the way I feel today, which is clownish. My hangover is almost clownish in its intensity. I feel like absolute ass.
Oh, you look worse.
If you saw what I drank, just a couple Miller Lights.
You can't mix, especially past age 35. You can't go beers. Now I'm going to have brown liquor.
I'm going to have brown liquor, brown liquor.
One brew.
I'm going to have brown liquor.
One scotch.
Now I'll go back to beers.
One beer.
And then all of a sudden, you're a complete disaster.
You jackass. You're going to pound beers all night and then switch to liquor and think you're going to survive it?
Playing a little hurt.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, you're going to see me playing football next year.
Definitely going to look at my future.
So you say that you will be back coaching next year. Is that what you said?
I said I've addressed that question.
Why did McDaniels turn down the Colts?
Truth of the matter is he was never entirely comfortable with the situation. And even though he did agree to the contract.
I've been riding dirt bikes. I've been training really hard. I can vroom, vroom really good.
It's the third phase of the New England Patriots off-season workout program. And Tom Brady is not there, and he's not going to be there.
I'm here now, focus on what I need to do.
Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman is facing a 4-game suspension for performance-enhancing substance.
Patriots just canceled the last 2 days of OTAs. It sends a very obvious message. The end is near.
The job of ownership is to keep continuity when you have something good. The Belichick-Brady combo has been pretty good.
It's important for me to have a good season in 2018. I'm going to do everything I can to do that.
This team needs a great quarterback. Hope I can go out and be that.
Brady takes the snap. He throws it left for Black. He makes the catch over two defenders and steps across the pylon for a touchdown. Patriots!
Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski will face the Lions tonight. He easily could have been playing for them instead.
Yeah, it happened. Brady's my quarterback. Wasn't going anywhere without Brady.
The Patriots have now agreed to terms with the Browns to trade for Josh Gordon.
Everybody feels like this is a talented player. We'll see how it goes.
I have no doubt I can, you know, take advantage of this opportunity. I'm more than blessed. I'm extremely grateful to be put in this scenario.
Long hierarchy pass to the end zone. Caught by Gordon in the right side.
That was a great play Josh made. Tells you the kind of confidence I have in a really short period of time. So he's earned it. Happy to see him make that play.
Tied at 40. The snap and play. Swing the right leg. Kick lifted to the uprights. Right down the middle. A game winner for Gostkowski. And these teams may very well meet again.
I don't think we've seen our best.
I would say playing against Aaron Rodgers is very, very difficult.
He's just so good.
Wide open, Gordon makes the catch, slips a hit, goodbye. Touchdown, Patriots.
Oh, start the buses.
More bad news concerning Josh Gordon. Yeah. He was suspended indefinitely again by the league.
The New England Patriots, they're bound for the divisional round of the AFC playoff tournament with a bye for the ninth straight year.
Oh, my mindset is just all focused on the Chargers.
Brady turns, gives to Michelle, runs up the middle, pushing the pile, driving his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! And the Pats remain unbeaten at home. And now they've got to take a performance like today's and build on it, travel to Kansas City with it to beat the Chiefs for the second time this year.
Yep.
As they will meet in the AFC Championship game.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. I know everyone thinks we suck and, can't win any games. So we'll see.
Patriots staffer told me early in the week, Brady walked into the facility and said, and I quote, "I am the baddest mother on the planet."
Mahomes out of the shotgun. Zings it for the end zone. Caught by Kelsey on a slant. Touchdown. Throw for down. Williams, he catches the football. Right side. Touchdown.
They're going to run a screen. Near side, Damian Williams set up. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Brady takes the step, gives to Michelle, runs it right, first down and more, untouched, into the end zone, touchdown Patriots, they regain the lead.
Damian Williams into the end zone, blasts in there, touchdown.
Brady is going to turn and give it to Burkett, he runs it left behind Devlin, he blows his way to the end zone, touchdown Patriots.
Colquitt puts the placement down, Butker's kick, this can't be more perfect, the Chiefs have tied the game.
Heads, it is heads,
you want the ball.
Adamant open in midfield, makes the catch, and then lunges forward across the 45.
Third down, and he picks up 20.
Caught by Edelman on the run to the left side of the 30.
That's a 15-yard dagger on third and 10 again.
Gronk makes the catch at the 20, and he's tackled. Caught at the shoelaces. Third and long conversions, times three on this drive in overtime. Brady under center, a give to Burkett, runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
Happy for our team, happy for our coaching staff, our players, and the entire organization for what we accomplished tonight. And we'll start getting ready for the Rams.
The odds were stacked against us, and it hasn't been that way for us for a while. And it certainly was this year. It was a great team win.
Okay, big thanks to executive producer Jimmy Stewart for putting that together. A lot of crap. A lot of crap this year, boys. Been a really eventful, entertaining season, I'll tell you that. And here we are at Super Bowl 53, this hour of the program, brought to you by your New England Buick dealers. Right back to your phones, as promised, Phil in Malden. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm just going to hold off on the end of the show to see your predictions, but I think they're going to win by touchdown and a field goal. And Murray, when are you going to come out with your white Patriots hat? On Monday, after you predict the Patriots to lose.
Okay, what does that mean, white Patriots hat?
I don't know. I have a white Patriots hat. I brought it down with me. I think I wore it earlier this week. I'll wear it tomorrow at the broadcast we'll be doing at Hudson Grill.
You like the Patriots in this game, Jim. You have the entire time, right?
I do, yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if he thinks I'm doing it like for spite, like I'm picking the Patriots because I think they'll lose. No, I think they're going to win this game.
Of course,
I think it's going to be a tight game.
Of course he thinks you're doing it out of spite.
I would take the under. I actually think it's going to be in the 20s. I'm not going to be shocked if the Patriots won this game like 26-20, but it just look. I said it yesterday. The more I thought about it, they really remind me of the 2012 Baltimore Ravens, a team that kind of underachieved, squeaked into the playoffs. And then, granted, that team had to play wild card weekend, but they looked like a completely different team in the postseason. The quarterback played better, just like Brady's played better. And I think Goff, like Maz, the moment's going to be too big for him. He's going to be making a mistake or two that's ultimately going to cost Los Angeles.
On some level, I still can't believe they're here.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm not kidding. I mean, the fact that this turned like it did not see this coming. The fact that they're here, I still say, I'm stunned that they're in this. Well, we also have the Kyrie news today. He tells the media, ask him July 1st what he intends to do, and that he doesn't owe anybody crap. I don't owe anybody S-word. I don't owe anybody anything, which is a real big change of tune from what he said before the season to the season ticket holders that he's re-signing with the Celtics. So
he had three big whoppers since he's been here. S my D, F Thanksgiving, and I don't owe anyone S.
The one that still stands out to me is F Thanksgiving. Now, who's got a problem with Thanksgiving? Cam in Taunton. Go ahead, Cam.
I mean, if they get Davis, I do believe he'll stay. But if he leaves, the Celtics have no one to blame but the young kids on this roster because they all think that they are the cat's ass who's achieved something. Jaylen Brown, chief among them, they don't want to accept their role in this team. They think they're the superstars. So
well, let me stop you there. Do you think the young players have driven Kyrie away?
I think that's part of it, yes. I wouldn't leave the coach off of that because I think this is one of the dilemmas now of having a star player with a massive ego on your team. Are you going to appease the star player or are you going to go with the young guys and uphold the team concept? And we all would say, well, you uphold the team concept. Not in that league. No way. The smart coach is the guy who kisses the ass of his star player. And so if I'm Stevens and I want to keep Kyrie happy and make the Celtics championship caliber, I start putting the young guys in their place.
Okay, but I also think there's another piece that is no one's fault, and that's Gordon Hayward. You know, Gordon Hayward's not the player Kyrie thought he was getting.
Sure.
And that's really changed the whole landscape. It really has. You know, they were going to have a big three, a big four, and Hayward is, you know, really, he's not even a worthy bench player a lot of nights. So that's changed the dynamic as well. And where Kyrie probably looks around and says, is this good enough? The young kids don't get it. The fellow superstar is half the player he used to be. The coach still wants to get every, you know, like, so all sort of added up, I think. Ian in Easton, quickly on my prediction. I got the Rams. Go ahead, Ian.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
Mike, first off, congratulations on marrying way up.
Thank you. I agree.
You're welcome. usually I kind of agree with your points, but right off the top, you had two that I would go the exact opposite. First, with Bill and the Hall of Fame, I think his legacy would be enhanced by having less guys in the Hall of Fame, don't you think?
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. It is. That's a fair point by you.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I believe 17 years ago, this same team played this same team in the Super Bowl, and the same coach was coaching that team. And do you remember what they called that team?
Yes. Greatest show on turf, baby.
Right. And your point was about the speed?
Yes, correct.
Well, I think you better go back in history and look, Mike. Cause
well, I think you better go back in history and look at the players they had on that 0-1 team and compare them to the players they have on this team. And you tell me if they got Ty Law and Richard Seymour and Teddy Bruschi and Roman Pfeiffer.
Willie McGinnis.
And Willie McGinnis and Lawyer Malloy. You tell me. So you go back and look at that roster and also go back and look and tell me how the league let you play at that time versus how they let you play now.
So I was just going to say, and I don't know if we've spent a lot of time on this week, but how they officiate this game is going to be a big factor.
No question.
Because, look, we had Travis Kelce sit here yesterday, for crying out loud, and say, you know, what did you learn from that game? And he says, well, that the Patriots know that they'd try to get away with a little bit more, and I'm paraphrasing. But he basically acknowledged that the Patriots grabbed and did all kinds of stuff that they don't typically get away with during the regular season, that they got away with during the playoffs. So if the game is officiated in a similar manner, you'll be able to slow the Rams down.
Oh, the Pats have plenty of times neutralized faster teams. That's not like, just because the Rams are faster isn't like some sort of guarantee. I'm just telling you, that's how they do it. Like, tactically, what is the Rams' big advantage over the Patriots? I mean, you know, and you know, there's Pats have big advantages in certain areas. The Rams have advantages in certain areas. To me, the most glaring is the overall speed and athleticism. I mean, I don't know if you really debate it. Is there another? Their kicker and punter. You know, their kicking game's really good. Specifically, their specialists, right? Maybe that's a big advantage the Rams have over you. Punter, fine. Give them the punter check mark. Where else do they really? You know, I mean, I will give you another one. And you shouldn't look past this. We've had more than one person come on here and say that the Rams are better in the trenches. Their O-line's better than your D-line, and their D-line's better than your O-line.
So I agree with the first part of that. I'm not sure about the second one. That's why I think it's an important part of the game.
You're saying Rams D-line versus Pats offensive line.
Correct. I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah,
close.
I think that one could go either way. But, there are Patriots fans that are taking that one for granted.
So,
well, our O-line's awesome. And I'm telling you, that one's a coin flip to me.
So that's second on my list. It's like, how are the Rams going to do it? Well, they have speed and athleticism over you, and this is indoors on a fast track. And two, you can make the case they got the better of both sides of the line. That's a pretty good place to start. So that's where I am. We continue with your thoughts here on an Agenda Free Friday. There's no commercials, just an update. The Wood and I were walking over here, and you know we passed on the street?
Who?
I'm not lying here. It was Jim Gray.
Oh, yeah.
Scratchy himself.
Oh, yeah.
He was walking down the street. And I'll tell you what. He was not a happy-looking camper. He had a look on his puss.
What time was it?
Like, you when it was like 1 o'clock, 12.
Oh, no, that wasn't close enough there.
12, well, it might have lingered because if you've heard what happened this morning on Toucher and Rich, Fred tossed Jim Gray off the air. Okay? Tossed him off the desk. And you're going to hear that sound coming back, and we'll just talk about that for a second. 90 seconds, no commercials, just an update from Murray, and we're right back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.